welcome to Red Ice Radio. Nice to have you with us. My name is Henrik, and this is Internet Talk Radio, broadcasted from the west coast of Sweden, up in Scandinavia. We are here on Thursdays and Sundays. You can find more information about our radio program, our webcasts, our news section, our member section, and much more on our website, redicecreations.com. That's R-E-D-I-C-E, creations.com. And today we have Sonia Barrett back with us on the program. Sonia, of course, is the author of The Holographic Canvas. And today we are going to begin to talk a little bit about immortality, life extension, and the quest, if you will, for eternal life, and much more. Sonia, as you might know from last time we had her on, has a few websites of her own that you can take a look at. Spiritinform.com. She also does her own radio program where you can find more about that on sovereignmindradio.com, and also take a look at newcorporatebody.com. I will of course have these links up on redicecreations.com as well, so you can find them more easily and click through via our website. Welcome back to the program, Sonia. It's great to have you with us again.
Thank you so much. I'm just delighted that you have asked me to come back. And I also want to say, first thing, you have great listeners, and I really want to thank them. I was amazed at the response and just beautiful emails that I received and the curiosity about much of the topics that were discussed that day. So I want to thank them. And I made a couple of friends.
That's good. That's the way we like it. That's the purpose of this. Absolutely. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you, Sonia. And I know I'm communicating all the time with many of our listeners, and it's a very, very nice bunch that we have out there. And we're very glad that so many people are tuning in. So it's great. Absolutely. And, you know, Sonia, I just want to check with you here at the beginning as well. You'll be attending the conspiracy conference this year, isn't that right?
Right. Yes, I'll be speaking at the Conspiracy Con conference this year. And I'm also speaking at another conference, which I just found out about. I was just asked. That's in Mount Shasta. That is the UFO and I think ancient mysteries. But, you know, I can't remember the exact time. But anyway, it's on my website conference, and it's every year as well. So I'm speaking at both those conferences.
Nice. Well, we might see each other if that happens to be the case then at ConspiracyCon, because we'll be attending there and be there at ourselves here from Red Eye. So we might hook up there. We'll see.
Yes, I'll be there for sure. So
very good. Excellent. Well, okay, Sonia, I know last time we primarily talked, we talked about a lot of things last time, but primarily we focused around, you know, the holographic model, basically, of reality. We talked about your book, The Holographic Canvas, and so forth. And prior to this show, we talked a little bit about going into the subject of immortality as being one of the subjects that I think a few of our listeners contacted you about and asked to know more about. Is this specifically something that you've gone into in your book, or have you just been interested in this as a kind of side issue?
Actually, you know, the entire book, when you read the entire book, you see that that's what the information is unfolding into, because the whole gamut of life, of everything that we're dealing with, is leading to that one thing. And that's what's so interesting, is the fact that, yes, the entire book really goes through that, because I've talked to other people who have read the book and then they finally get it. Of course, yes, there are chapters in there dedicated to that, but pretty much every chapter is touching on it, is showing you how these blinders have distracted you and how these programs have definitely thrown you off your memory, you know, your course of memory, which was still essential. The memory loss was still an essential thing. Do you want me to go further on it, or did you want to?
Well, absolutely, but we can even begin to define it in regards to immortality, if we're talking about a spiritual or a physical immortality.
Well, what we're speaking of is we're talking about both. We're talking about a physical immortality, but as I'm always saying, at the same time, it's not really about being stuck in, I shouldn't say stuck, but being in your body as you see it before you today. Because your body is really, again, a system. It's a vehicle, just as we speak of the matrix, or we speak of Earth. And I, of course, defined the matrix as being just a system, a concept, a construct by which whatever is within that particular structure would operate. Well, the body itself, you can see it as a matrix, a system itself, but it is actually a vehicle by which you as a being would be able to operate in this reality. So that vehicle, in essence, is not completely activated, and it hasn't been completely activated because of the fact that we are here. We've basically been here in this reality to process or to experience life from the angle of feelings, just, you know, going yeah. through a processing of feelings, of emotions. And so the body is designed to operate based on electrochemical impulses, which are your emotions. And emotions then, when we talk about it in that manner, are the results of our interaction with each other and with whatever we interact with. It's the results of that interaction. And the results of that interaction is what we define as how we feel. And how we feel, the outcome of that carries its own vibration. That's why you say whether something is good or bad. Yeah. So it's very polarized. And out of that polarity, of course, comes a continuous judgment of everything.
Yes.
So with that being understood, in the fact that we operate based on the judgment of everything, which is how we feel if something is good or bad, all of those things become the focus, and then the body then begins to operate on this autopilot mode because of these stored the stored results, then the data that's gathered from every experience. We've had enough of them, so many of them, of course, because we're like a computer, that everything you do I can't even count how long, how many thousands or possibly millions of years, are being determined based on this storage of data from the experiences that you've had. Hence, what we have from that then is what we call the karmic process. The karmic process then comes into play because then we end up with circumstances and conditions that are unresolved, and we tend to need to somehow resolve them. So what we've got determining life, or the way life is played out, is based on what we call destiny, fate, karma, reincarnation. Those things have been working together to determine your journey, and so that has become your course. The concept of immortality then is completely out the door because you're so busy in the survival of all of that. But I'm talking about the body and the transitioning of the body, but that cannot occur until we have evolved past that level of experiencing life on a feeling mode, on the judgment mode. Because once you shift out of that, it's not that you're not feeling, but you're operating more on the understanding of resonance. So it's what's resonating as opposed to something being good or bad. It's just what resonates. And as you shift, you are no longer operating from that same ego space, which then completely shifts and changes the way we think. And I can go on and on with that, but I want to stop in case you have a question in there.
Well, what I'm reminded of a little bit when you're talking about these modes that people end up in, if we talk about that in terms of psychology, you're basically describing the different archetypes, if you will, that almost like this energy that is reaching out through the human beings, through the human collective unconscious, if you will, and we end up kind of working in favor, if you will, of some of these archetypes. One might identify with the, you know, a more, shall we say, violent archetype. One might be
right.
more, you know, there's different modes out there, And I guess what you're saying is also that the longer we are in a way communicating with these or working with these archetypes, the stronger they're becoming in a way. So it also
Absolutely.
Is becoming more mm-hmm. difficult for us in a way to kind of break free from that in a way, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And what's interesting is the fact that, you know, we hear the various concepts in religion and in different sects in terms of 1,000 years of peace, or the fact that, you know, at some point human beings should be able to exist for 1,000 years. What is interesting to me is what I looked at is the fact that I know that the reason why human beings are only living for this programmed, designated period of time is I know that after a certain period of existence on the planet, the you begin to your original knowing, your original self begins to override these programs, and the DNA starts to shift back to the more expansive then, where more strands are actually appearing or being there, or the coding itself is just completely changed, and you begin to then move back into that space where the body can live that long. But we don't live that for those lengthy period of time, so you just end up on rewind. But I really do know that there's a point where that programming gets overridden by the original essence, or the original knowing that embodied the form. And so you live 80 years and 100 years.
Yes. Do you think that this is something that in our history, something has happened, that when this has become corrupted in a way, that meaning that we could, for example, live, as you say, for 1,000 years, but for some reason, the programming, if you will, have set a limit here at around, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100, something like that.
Right. I absolutely believe that. I absolutely believe that. On the note that the fact that, you know, you're in a game, that this is a game, and you've got a couple of sides at work, and even though you have those that are on the planet here controlling and trying to figure things out, they are still caught in the same process that everybody else is caught in. It's just that they're trying to figure it out before you figure it out. But prior to that, now we had other game players who participated outside of the planet as well, participated in this dumbing down process of the human DNA. And so therefore, because we've heard of having a work race. Well, I mean, obviously, if you're going to control a group or a planet of entities, you have to ensure that program doesn't get overridden. You have to ensure that they don't snap out of that. So therefore, they have to be programmed to live for a very short period, for a period of time that will just ensure the rewind process. And that's what we're dealing with right now and trying to break out of that. But we've lived these programs for such a long time that we now find, many people find it difficult to even master in their, to think in their minds of this possibility, because all you can see is your body, that this is the physical body that you would live in, and it has nothing to do with that. We're talking a molecular transition that occurs because you're also stuck in the concept, meaning being people here, souls here. You're also stuck in the concept of this reality being the only reality, even though we may tell ourselves that there are other realities. We can't wrap our minds around that. And so we tend to we've conditioned ourselves to be able to only accept this. And so we can't fathom anything that could be beyond or outside the scope of this. And then, of course, your religious beliefs or your spiritual beliefs say that it's not possible, and that you are going to live, there's eternal life after death. You see, so that's brought in. So even the Egyptians, and you trace all these ancient civilizations, there's always this thing about the afterlife or somehow trying to harness or remember the possibility of immortality. And look at the mummification process. Look at the preservation of the body that they were doing for the afterlife. Mm. They forgot. They were all just simply trying to remember what to do. How does this work? Mm. You know, so here we are, and we are on Rewind again. And I'm saying to you that this is not the case. And many people actually, Heinrich, a lot of the people from your listeners that contacted me, I mean, and even outside of that, I'm just amazed at people who are happy to come out the closet on saying to me, you know what? I've always wondered about that. Something about it didn't make sense to me, but they couldn't, because everybody else agreed to the fact that this death process must occur. The commercials, everything we've got going is advertising funeral homes, your billboards. When you step out, when you really allow yourself to step out of this matrix, you can see how bizarre it is. It's as if you're in this virtual world, which you are, but you actually feel yourself in this virtual game, and you're scratching your head and you're like, does anybody else realize how bizarre this is? You know, the funeral home commercials, the buy your plot now. There's just something very bizarre. And well, if we could just snap out of it.
And even the idea of this constant stay young advertising that is all the time, you know, cosmetics, whatever it might be. That also sends a subliminal that, you know, you are getting old all the time. It almost like it's programming the body to become old because of it.
It is. It is. After age 50, I see it on TV, and it's after what age, whatever, 50, 55, you know, they promote that, and they promote the fact that you're going to start needing to take medication. So there is this ongoing program as you go along from the minute you arrive here in this concept of time, right through to a certain age, they start to remind you, and people even panic when they hit 30. 30 years old, I mean, my God, even 100 years old is technically nothing. How do we know that there aren't people living on other pockets of the planet that aren't living way longer? In the Himalayas, they had those people living there, yes, that nobody died before 100 and what, like 45 or something?
Right.
So there's a lot that's going on that we do not see, do not hear about. And of course, those people are not really trying to make themselves known. But the human body is amazing. That's the reason why they're digging into the stem cell research.
Well,
because
exactly.
The stem cell, I mean, says it all. If we really look at that, you can actually get your stem cells to replace and be whatever cells, limbs, whatever it is that needs to be. They actually have mentioned that concept very little, but they've mentioned it based on the thought, the idea of the thought process activating this. So unless you go digging for yourself, you're going to get, there's a group of people who are busy trying to figure this out and working it and working it and working it. So we have to get to that point where we can accept the fact that we need to expand our perception, and that information will start coming into you. It starts to override the programs. But if you don't question, or if you buy into this, the programs will continue to be there, and it won't be able to be overridden. So it's all up to the individual with creating this activation.
Do you think that you know, if we look at some of the poster boys for life extension programs like Ray Kurzweil, Craig Venter, Aubrey de Grey, they're talking about getting to extended life through what I consider to be, in some regard, kind of the artificial means. They're looking at genetic manipulation, growth hormone, mm-hmm, different drugs and things like that. Do you think that that's a shortcut, that they actually will succeed in that? What I'm seeing at this point is that they might not actually they don't have the full picture, if you know what I mean, in a sense. They don't bring in, what it seems like to me, they don't bring in the spiritual aspect to this,
no.
Meaning that they probably won't succeed. But what's your take?
No, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you because, again, because it's all technology, there's an aspect there that has to be incorporated into that kind of transitioning, that kind of shift that takes place within the physical body, because that shift that's taking place in the physical body is very much associated with the shift in one's consciousness. So we're talking about the vibration of one's consciousness shifting. And the other aspect of that, when I was talking about not living long enough, because you need to acquire knowledge. Knowledge is, that is so key, because that's what turns the body on. That's what lets the brain take the message of saying that this being is not ready to die. This being is discovering. And so the brain starts to allow other aspects of it, other compartments of it to be accessible to you and to be utilized. If you are not acquiring knowledge, you're saying to your body, your brain says, well, there's nothing else other than programs, and it's time for me to shut down. You are operating off of the vibration of the evolution of your consciousness. If your consciousness is not evolving from a vibrational standpoint, because now we're not talking fluffy stuff, we're talking science.
Right.
If it's not expanding, knowledge is not expanding, then it's going to affect what? It's going to affect the chemical production in the body, in the brain, that actually keeps the body young and keeps the body from dying. Because you need to be here long enough to acquire a certain level of knowledge to create that kind of shift in consciousness.
Well,
I hope that was clear.
Well, I think that's a very good point. And to emphasize is that what you're talking about is that you can't just live life for the purpose of living it longer. You have to have a meaning to your own life, right? You have to find something in life that you feel is worth making your life worth living, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what makes the big shift, however, people can extend their lives. I've seen it even on Yahoo, talking about seniors and, going out and doing, learning something new, how it helps to keep them going.
Yeah.
But if you are indeed saying to yourself, I really am ready in this time to really move into that kind of evolution, then what will need to occur is you will need to start digging into the idea of who you are and digging into the idea of creation, because that's what unlocks the door. We can go ahead and we can learn different things, and sure, it's going to keep us going, but you have to start acquiring a grander level of knowledge, which means that you are gradually returning yourself, or should I say, you're gradually grabbing larger and larger pieces or aspects of yourself as source, because that's what you're doing. Every time your consciousness expands, you are actually grabbing a larger, a little bit more and a little bit more of the vastness that you are. But obviously you cannot harness that full vastness of what we are, because you do it in stages according to the reality and the awareness that you have at that moment and what you will need to do at that moment. And obviously, if we were here in that expansiveness that we are, as the void, as creation, there would be no need to be here and nothing would exist.
Yeah.
So I think we have to look at that and not beat up on the process, but realize, okay, so this is what happened. So I'm here and I get it now. I did all this because there's no way that I could, gather data for my experiment if I remembered everything. So I've done this and I'm ready to step it up so that I can move forward in creating something else beyond this particular experience. And until someone is ready to actually do that, there is nothing, there's no one that can shift you for you. And this whole thing was designed like that. The body was designed with a fail-safe mechanism. And that's the reason why no matter how some groups may try to do it, unless there is a particular frequency and a particular intention involved, they will only get so far. And that's when, of course, why it is necessary for us to go through the process where we understand the concept of feeling and the concept of judgment and all of those concepts so that we operate more in resonance and there is no fear of you harming another person because your ego isn't involved. That's the only reason why we do what we do to each other is because there is there's some ego involved. And so there's always that balancing act that that we do. Yet it's all characters. Everybody's a character and we couldn't each have our show without each other playing a particular role. So yes. This is the game.
When you speak of knowledge as well, I have two questions that I want to ask you about that. First of all, do you think that that's our purpose, if you will, to gather data, gather knowledge? And the second one is, do you think that knowledge that we do gather during our lifetime is in some way kind of, I don't know how to put it, wasted when someone dies? Or do you think that people alive can utilize or kind of access that knowledge?
Yes, your first question, yes, I do believe that that is the whole purpose of existence, is to allow existence, to allow that force that that is to be all potentials that could possibly be. It doesn't matter that the outcome is known, the experience must be had. And so that is the gathering of data. Every time I have a feeling, an emotion, or whatever the case may be, that's an experience, and that gets uploaded to the whole. So that information about everything, that's the reason why it all exists there in the quantum field. You can access anything at any given time. And as you asked the question about when someone dies, nothing is wasted. It's all there. It's sort of like sound, you know, because the sound stops in our third dimensional ear. It doesn't mean that sound has stopped. It continues to ripple, you know, throughout whatever we call time or yes. Our existence.
Yes.
Same thing with those experiences. They're there. And as a matter of fact, we reach into those experiences sometimes because those thoughts are they're floating around out there. And it's like someone who has an idea for an invention and you don't do anything with it. I guarantee you you will see it somewhere. Everything gets picked up. There's really nothing is really hidden like we think. Everything is out there. It's all radio waves. And just because someone dies, it doesn't mean that frequency of the experience is lost. And not only that, that individual or that soul more than likely is still somewhat tied to those experiences. So you still have that soul in association with those particular experiences, especially if it's unfinished business, which is how we end up back in this cycle again. You know, even though past, present, and future does exist simultaneously, you're always going to find a way to resolve and to live out these understandings or these experiences and create balance. At some point you evolve, you know, beyond that. Now, this is only we're really only talking about our experiences as human beings. Yes. And our journey as human beings, because obviously that's the form that we can see ourselves in right now, even though we exist in multi facets of multiple timelines. But right now, this is where our consciousness is focused and aware. So we're having to resolve these things, and we are realigning with ourselves ultimately where we are. And then you shift out of this timeline, and you no longer operate in this timeline because there's nothing else for you to do in this timeline based on the construct of this timeline.
So This is very difficult to know, of course, but I'm thinking of in regards to time as well, like chronologically, if we, do you think that people experience or a soul or a spirit experience life like from the beginning of time historically seen from this planet and like going through forward in the future? Or do you think that our experiences are so varied that we might even jump back and forth in time, so to speak, historically speaking? We might have, you know, lived one life in 1,000 years from now and then another one 100 years back into the past again or something like that. Or do you think it's very chronological the way we experience
things? I'd see exactly what you just said. We're flip-flopping in time, which is what the book talks about. I talk about the fact that we are jump. It's just our consciousness that's really jumping around. It's just that we're so tied to the body, the physical body, from that perspective, that we only see the possibility of movement unless in this body. But it's not. It's the consciousness that's actually moving around. So we get flashes sometimes, and you sort of scratch your head because all of a sudden, you know, you were doing the dishes or you're doing something else, and you all of a sudden you realize that time, you feel as if some time has passed, but you don't really have any recollection. But suddenly you feel like you just got back from someplace. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, sure. Well, absolutely. In one regard, even when you talk, when you describe it, I get a feeling or a recollection of deja vu kind of involved in mm-hmm. that as well, you know, that you're in some way recognizing the experience that you're having. And it's in some way, it's resonating very powerfully with another experience that either I might have had or actually someone else that has kind of contributed to the quantum field or the Akashic record or whatever we want to call it, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's just fascinating to me because we're jumping around in time. I mean, and I have had experiences. I mean, this is a few years back when I finally just said, okay, I get it now. I would be maybe sitting on the couch, and then suddenly I get this flash of myself as if I had been in the bedroom or someplace else. And I mean, but now it's coming in, you know, vivid to me at the time. Now I could grab it, hold on to it a little bit longer, as if it was a memory. So I started scratching my head. I'm like, well, maybe did I do that at some point? I thought I was in the room. I mean, just that kind of bizarre stuff. And then after a while, it wasn't bizarre anymore. I started to realize that I'm just all over the place. And it's just my consciousness. And right now, where I am, I'm whatever I'm conscious of at that moment, that's where I am. If I travel back to 1890, I'm just completely conscious that I'm in 1890. So I just think it is all fascinating. And I think that science is definitely going to really start, you know, bringing this stuff up. You know, they're always coming up with it like after we, the people that aren't technically scientists, have sort of figured that out.
Yeah, but I think the mystic, right, is the spiritual
exactly.
person is have a knowledge there, absolutely.
And but we're all scientists, and I'm always saying that to everybody, is I recognize that we are all scientists. That's how we got here in the first place. We're doing amazing things with cosmic technology, and we've done such an amazing job that we just don't remember. It's just so fascinating.
Do you think that genetic memory has something to do with this as well? You talked before about this kind of that we've been capped, if you will, with a certain set of preferences or an experience, properties that is attributed to the human being. But do you think that our DNA in some way has been, you know, programmed in this manner, or that our genetic memory is something that affects us, meaning that if our parents lived through something in a certain way, that's going to obviously reflect back on us? Do you think that might be the case also?
Yes, I think that all of those things are the genetics, ancestral imprints, as I call them, because all of these things are imprints. Now, trauma is always, you know, a major one to get imprinted. Anything that's memorable and a shock to us or impacts us in any way becomes an imprint. And I do believe that things become genetic. But I also know that as souls, I do believe that we determine the connections that we want to make in the bodies that we take on, and according to what we are going to need for that particular journey here. So even if that is the case, you choose parents that are going to have a particular encoding that you will need to carry out your plans. No matter how mad we get at our parents, that's what we do. But it's not that we can't change anything, and that leads to, of course, the whole idea of destiny and fate, which I talk about in the book. Mm-hmm. I talk about that in the book, and this from the standpoint that when we begin to move beyond much of these things, we start to move beyond what we call destiny and what we call fate. They no longer exist. They only exist as as guidelines. They work together with karma, with reincarnation. And if you really start to look at it, which I wrote about extensively, you will see that they would have to be tied together. You have destiny because what? Because you have a particular operation, a particular process that needs to occur in the timeline that you enter. So that's destiny when you are still there. Destiny then usually means if you're coming in with a particular agenda, karmic things to deal with, then that becomes destiny. And fate then is tied into that, because fate and destiny would have to work hand in hand. And of course, karma, in order to resolve, then all of that gets tied into it. And then the reincarnation wheel, the concept of reincarnation, would then be essential in order to allow a soul the opportunity to create this kind of resolve or this kind of transition. So they work hand in hand. But when we begin to shift away from the concept then again of the ego and feeling and the processing of emotions, based on, you did this to me and all of those things, based on the judgment process and the protection of the ego, which is where the survival program comes in. We must protect our egos. We must protect ourselves at all costs. When all of that, as you evolve from all of that, there is no need to have restrictions of that manner. There is no need for destiny to guide you. Your fate is your own. What you choose at that point is your own. The soul takes on a completely different meaning then, because the concept of the soul as we know it at this time is but a minuscule, a small part of what the soul really is, the expansiveness of it. The small part that we come in this life with is just the part that keeps the record going for your particular journey, all of your journey that has to do with this kind of experience. Mm. So as you step up, the soul actually emerges into it. It actually ascends into consciousness, because it's going back into its expansive state, which is then what as I said before about consciousness. Consciousness is really awareness. It's self-awareness. So you're biting off larger and larger pieces of self-awareness, which simply means that you're simply returning to greater aspects of yourself as source.
Yes.
I hope that all makes sense again.
Yes. Well, you're discovering yourself. You know, that's what it's about, right? And also,
absolutely,
what you might be talking about here is that the more dedicated you are in your own quest for self-discovery, then you might kind of access or gain favor, so to speak. I don't know how to put it, but in order to live your life longer, in order to spend more time doing that. I don't know if that's true across the board, though. It seems that a lot of people actually who have been mystics, who have been very spiritually involved in themselves, some kind of alchemical work or what have you, at least if we look back into history a few hundred years, many of those people actually seem to have suffered from a lot of physical ailments in a way.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if why that is. I don't know if if you have an idea or theory why that might be.
Missing pieces to the puzzle. Missing pieces to the puzzle. One of the biggest things that I see, even with mystics, with yogis, with some of these beings that we've seen, is a fracturization, you know, because what happens is they end up biting off or focusing on one particular angle, and that in itself creates a limitation. So this it's such a very trippy game that it really requires an expansiveness and not the a lot of the limitation and fracturization that ends up being the way that some of these entities have ended up living or experiencing the matrix, because they also have that programming in their DNA, in them. And there's so many things to be understood, so many things to remember to really reactivate that part of ourselves. So without that kind of ascension, because let's really look at this, Heinrich, let's really look at this, that it would really make sense that the greatest achievement that you as a human being, meaning in you as a spirit in these physical bodies, could ever really make in terms of this game, in terms of the final outcome of this game, only in this particular concept of time now is what I'm saying, is to do what? Master matter.
That's interesting.
That would be the ultimate for you as a being to be able to do, is to master matter, which is why, yes, the yogis, there are many of them that were able to manifest things in their hands. They were able to do even some teleportation. They were able to do these things. All of those things would lead to the possibility of the body being able to transform itself, translate itself into whatever the body or the vibration of that body or the frequency required for a physical body moving into a higher vibration or higher dimension. You cannot occupy a higher dimension or higher space outside of this one in your physical body. It doesn't vibrate high enough for that. And if it shifts into that kind of frequency, that kind of vibration, it's going to change from its dense state, because it operates now in a manner in conjunction with the concept of gravity. So we have to, when we start to really sit and look at this, you see that I'm not talking crazy stuff. I'm just talking scientifically. It would only make sense that that would be the case. Now, there are beings who have actually done this, but obviously you don't hear about them.
No.
You don't hear about these beings. The people that we know of, or the history that we find that's dug up and we talk about, those aren't the people of power. When are we going to get that? It's who you don't know. It's what you don't know about. That's where the power is, just like the power lies in the invisible. For us, it's the invisible because of where we're vibrating, where our consciousness is. But it's not the people that we dig up historically. Most of those entities were trying to figure it out as we are. Some of them, obviously, civilizations that were just way more advanced than we are, and we have become a dwindling down of them from where they were. They were at a more heightened point because they were still in a space that was still attached to or connected to a more whole space, and they weren't dealing with a lot of what we're dealing. Even their technologies were even more advanced than what we have now. So you see a rise in consciousness, an absolute rise in consciousness, and then you see an absolute God, demise, a drift all the way down in consciousness, and then you see a peak, a potential peak coming up again in consciousness. So there are these waves that are taking place. Mm. But there's a lot that we don't know about, and I think we need to open ourselves up to that and not just believe that, well, such and such wasn't able to do it. Well, what about the ones that did that you don't know about? They operate on a completely different concept of time and reality, and egos aren't involved, so it's not necessary, and you can't just find them. On top of the fact that you are, some of the things that are being found, does anybody think to themselves, how many times have they dug in certain places and you don't find, there's nothing found, and then they'll go back and find it? Do you know how many inserts sometimes are made into our reality? It's virtual. It's a hologram. It's a game. It's very possible to insert things, and it could be too, Heinrich, that it's on a timer where things show up visibly to us because of the consciousness or because of the shift in consciousness of this reality based on this particular time that we're in, certain time periods. So it could be this sort of clock, but nothing is, everything is forever moving. It's just nothing is stabilized like we think. And so we get attached to that, though. We get attached to the idea of something stable, you know, like a particle. You know, it's just, it doesn't work that way. No. It's the phantom effect.
It's stable for a brief period of time, in a sense. Well, while it's moving, while it's changing, we might be able to measure it in some sense, but we rely on the fact that, okay, now it's measured, it's always going to stay the same. But that's not the case. I mean, in regards to, I guess, even certain UFO sightings, I've heard this mentioned before as well, that some people might actually be able to see it while others don't, for reasons of right. their own consciousness, meaning that you're susceptible to it, you might be able to pick up it because of, you know, you might access a higher frequency, whatever it might
you
be.
You might be more open.
Could be, exactly. So you might be able to see something that someone else don't. But in regards to this, if you will, inserting or implanting of things, of objects, of hints, what have you, do you think that this is being done for the purpose of the experimentation? Or do you think that it could even be kind of nefarious in a way that we're being played with, in a sense here? It might be a happy play, you know, in a sense, but
I believe that it's a combination. I really do believe that. And what's funny is, it on one level, it's us playing with ourselves in this process, because we do exist on on a so much larger scale. And I'm not even talking about going back to necessarily the point of the void, but in terms of existing on several levels up, sending our consciousness as an aspect of our consciousness into this particular timeline for this particular experience. So we are actually still tied in with an original self then, that is still in one way separate from the whole, meaning, you know, as you are an individual soul, yet we're all connected. So there is that aspect. And there are, again, because you have game players, you still have that mission going on, as far as, you know, maybe one side maybe trying to add clues, the other side's trying to throw you off.
Yeah.
I mean, if we get that fact that it's a game, it makes it very humorous. And you can see so much more, because you're not going to lock yourself in so much, and you can see more. It's being able to laugh honestly about it. That is one of the biggest formulas to this whole thing, because it's the seriousness on another level that solidifies it and makes it so that it's so stable in your own perception that nothing moves, and you're stuck on that one concept, idea, thought, whatever. You're stuck on that, and you can't see outside of that. But the laughter and the humor of it, and we are supposed to enjoy the game. That's the other thing. So until we can get to that certain space, we can't really enjoy the game. That is the whole thing. We've got to be able to get to that point where the game doesn't own us anymore. Right now, the game owns us because we don't remember. And when the game no longer owns you, guess what? Like a hologram as it is, it starts to what? To break down. You can actually see the hologram itself, the holographic reality of it itself. And eventually we all begin to make shifts, because that's why we can't penetrate anything right now, because we're vibrating at the same rate of speed as everything around us, as the material world. So we can't penetrate anything. But as we shift in consciousness, you're shifting in the vibration. And then, yes, we can begin to penetrate the things around us, the reality that we've created, because we get it that it's a game and it's not real, and we don't take it so seriously. So it doesn't need to stabilize, because what? It is the observer that is affecting reality. You cannot observe something without affecting it, without yes. changing it. So it's our observation of that particle that is giving the illusion of it being so final and so stable.
Sonia, I would love to continue doing an hour or two here with you in our member section. I want to talk more with you about kind of, I guess, the modern version of mummification, cryogenics, if there's something to that. Why are people doing that, you know? And then we can talk more about if the hologram actually is a stable construct, or if this in some way will fail. Much of what you described before here is sound like, in a way, it's like an advanced machine in a way, with the spiritual components put into it, like karma, the ego, reincarnation, genetic memory, things like that, right?
You got it. You so got it. When you said that, you so got it. We have no idea. This is an amazing game, and it's nothing like we think it is.
And then finally, I do also want to touch upon the kind of more occult root of this thing. If we talk about secret societies, for instance, or this occult quest by even Hitler, you know, the SS and Heinrich Himmler and these guys went to excursions to Tibet. What I think is possibly this quest for the Holy Grail or eternal life. But I'm going to ask you more about that later on. But for now, here, to round things up here for the first hour, Sonia, please mention if you have your website and your book, of course, if people want to find more information about you and your work, can do so.
Okay, my website is the mother of all my websites, is www.spiritinform.com. That's spiritinform.com. And my radio show website is www.sovereignmindradio.com. The magazine name actually has been changed to Sovereign Mind Magazine. So it would be sovereignmindmagazine.com.
Okay, very good. We'll have that updated on our website as well. And your book, of course, is called The Holographic Canvas.
Right. The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter. And you can purchase it at Amazon, but you can purchase a signed copy from my website at spiritinform.com, or even from the radio show's website. You can purchase it at either one.
Very good. We will have the links up on redasscreations.com. Thank you very much for the first segment, Sonia. Stay with us, and we'll be right back. We'll continue talking more with Sonia Barrett for our members. We're going to begin to talk about extending life and uploading thoughts or your soul to a computer. We'll discuss life 2.0, modern mummification like cryogenics and genetic manipulation. We'll also talk about the Nazis, the SS, and secret society's quest for eternal life and the idea of the superhuman. For more information and details on how to sign up, simply go to our website, redicecreations.com. For just 3.3 euros a month, you'll get full access to our entire radio archive with the webcast, films, and video interviews. So do take advantage of our archive. Thank you for joining us this first hour. We'll talk more on the other side.